Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Remember the Dubai Ports deal of 2006? Yeah, to go back a little bit here with me now, and some of you listening may not even remember this, but there was a Dubai Ports deal in 2006 where identified Middle East and Islamic terrorist countries were attempting to buy or control East Coast U.S. seaports. Remember that? And as reported in a March 15th, 2006 edition of the London Times, I'm reading from that article. They kind of looked back at it a little bit. This is what it said. On Air Force One, as George W. Bush, U.S. president, flew back to Washington from a Colorado visit, Bill Frist, leader of the Senate's Republican majority, and then later became a 2008 presidential contender, had just joined the gathering furor against that deal, that Dubai port deal of 2006. When asked to respond, Mr. Bush at first spoke calmly. He offered bland assurances that everything had been examined. He then added, quote, "One of my concerns, however, is mixed messages." And that message is, it's okay for a great British company, but a Middle Eastern country, maybe we ought not to deal the same way. It's a mixed message, end quote. That's what he was saying. Well, this talking was immediately, and I'm still reading from the article, was immediately repeated and amplified by other White House allies of the deal. Only whiners left by next week will be registered bigots, one fella, Grover Norquist, who was lobbying for it, said and told the Los Angeles Times. However, he was wrong. Again, still from the article, by week's end, 70% of all Americans and 58% of Republicans opposed the deal. The president's personal approval rating, an already low 40%, plunged to an abysmal 34%, end quote. Well, this effort to by foreign Arab, Islamic, Middle East nations to buy and control U.S. coast seaports was stopped in 2006 by wide margins, but it surfaced again. And I submit it's surfacing this time under the radar. Nothing's being said about it. But we're going to deal with this issue today because it is very serious. Our theme, return of the Dubai ports deal, but this time by stealth. And with that introduction, I'd like to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined by Dr. Gary Dahl, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and Senior Pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Our special guest and expert guest who has just returned also from a little publicized public hearing on this matter in Delaware is Dave Bailey. He's been with us before. He's an educational consultant. He's an author of a couple of books, one, Dare to Speak, Islam versus Free Democracy and Free Enterprise, which was published in 2006, interestingly, that same year, and Shock and Alarm, what it was really like at the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, which was published in 2013. And with that, Dave, I welcome you to the program today.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're back, and we have a lot to go over, and we're going to get an update from you on what you found out in that meeting in the second segment. But I want to start right out now because some folks may not actually remember the Dubai ports deal. I want you to fill in just a little bit more, if you could, about what that deal was, and then this question to begin with. What was the primary reason that that deal ended up being opposed by 58% of Republicans and 70% of all Americans? What were they afraid of?
Okay, well, the key issue is that it was Dubai Ports deal was run by a company or a corporation called DP World, which was owned by the government of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And there's a law in the United States that says foreign countries may not own control of operations of American ports. And the reasons for that should be obvious to anyone. I mean, do we really want foreign countries controlling ports of access into the United States? You know, especially if they, you know, and one thing is we could be talking about a country like England, which probably wouldn't concern us all that much. But United Arab Emirates is not England. And so in this case particularly, there is a real concern. This is from a very hot part of the world where there's a lot of conflict and issues going on. And that is what raised the alarms. Now, that was particularly true because in 2006, we're only 5 years after the 9/11 attack. So the public was still very hot and aware of the potential of terrorism coming over into the United States. And we had had a number of cases where, you know, there were flights where terrorism occurred. And that's just another form of transportation where terrorism could be imported into the United States. So this is the kind of issue that caused concern.
You know, Dave, this whole matter is amazing to me. And of course, Sam and I were talking before we went on the air. It has really been stealth, at least to me, in recent years until, of course, we are bringing it up here on the program today. But, you know, according to many articles that have been out there, it was President Bush who was really pushing for this particular deal. And he was pulling hard for the United Arab Emirates and others involved to buy the U.S. ports, which is unbelievable to me. And right. In the process of that, he made a point of saying that, in effect, it wasn't fair because it really was discrimination against Middle Eastern, Islamic, and Arab countries. And if it would have been Japanese or British, no one would have had a problem. Now, to me, this is really missing the point that it was a national security issue. And the question is, should we be any less concerned today when certain foreign governments are attempting to buy one of our East Coast ports, one port at a time? I mean, this is crazy.
Exactly. And the parallels between then and now are huge. That law that we are talking about is on the books still, and yet what we have found out is that the Crescent Group, which is the owner of Gulftainer, which is the company actually making the bid, Crescent Group is owned by people like the Emir of Sharjah in the United Arab Emirates, and also the Iraqi oil magnate Hamid Jafar, who was a Saddam Hussein loyalist. And so there's real connections to, you know, both dangerous parts of the world and enemy regimes. And also, it's the exact same ownership problem. We have people who are rulers of a foreign country who are owners of the corporation that wants to take over the port. In fact, the port of Wilmington was one of the ports targeted back in 2006. So it really is the Dubai ports deal all over again, except this time, instead of going after all the ports at once and getting national attention and having to go at the, get approval at the federal level, they are approaching the ports very quietly and individually and only needing approval of the state. And by the way, most states are very eager to bring new flows of money.
Hi, my name is William Koenig, the director of Koenig World Watch Daily and a White House correspondent for the past 17 years. The Jewish prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and others spoke of these days in the Old Testament. Our Savior Jesus Christ did too in his Olivet Discourse. Today, 100 million American church attendees and 1 billion attendees worldwide do not know of the biblical significance of the modern state of Israel, or that Jesus Christ would have a 1,000-year reign from Jerusalem. Furthermore, the God of Israel did not plan for Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem, the biblical heartland of the Promised Land, to be part of an Arab state. To stay current with biblically significant news, visit our website at watch.org. That is WATCH.org.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
As is often quoted, one thing we learn from history is that people don't really learn from history. And I truly hope that that doesn't happen now and that we don't forget the lessons of what I term a near miss back in 2006 with the Dubai ports deal. However, the Dubai ports deal of 2006, as we talked about in the last segment, has all the earmarkings of a 2018 stealth attempt, which I am going to label as the stealth Wilmington ports deal of 2018. The stealth Wilmington ports deal of 2018. And the question is, what's the difference between this Wilmington port deal and the Dubai ports deal of 2006? Is it any less of a concern for foreign nations owning and controlling our strategic seaports? Are national security concerns any less today than they were then? Is the ISIS or Islamic Nation threat to the United States and the Western world, is that any less today than it was in 2006? Well, to give some expert commentary on these questions and the similarities between then and now will be our special guest, Dave Bailey. And actually, Dave just is returning from a, what I'm turning a quasi-public hearing. It was public, yes, but it wasn't mentioned a whole lot on that deal. So Dave, you just came back from that meeting regarding the Wilmington ports deal. What did you learn, yes, about it? And then fill in more of the details about this Wilmington ports deal that we're calling it of 2018.
Well, it was fascinating. Now, the bad news is the event actually got started at 10:45, and so I could only be there for the actual session for about 15 minutes before having to come back here for the show. But what was terrific was we got there at 9 o'clock, and we spent 45 minutes talking with William B. Ash Jr., who is the vice president of the International Longshoremen's Association, who is highly invested in this. This is a top guy in the union, one of the highest level people, and he was deeply informed of the issues. And so we actually had an opportunity to have a personal interview and get out much more information than we could have ever gotten from the meeting itself. And the key thing that came out of it is the way it's being presented is this is a do-or-die moment for the port of Wilmington. This is how he presents it. Basically, The Port of Wilmington is sort of the poor stepchild of Philadelphia and Baltimore, and it operates as a tramp port, which basically means if loads can't go into Philadelphia or Baltimore or some other place because of capacity, they'll come over to Wilmington. Well, you know, that's really not a very secure way of running things, especially when these other ports are expanding their capacities. And so to remain competitive, they feel that it is absolutely necessary to dramatically expand the port so that it can actually draw permanent business, contracts and business to itself rather than simply acting as a tramp port. And so they are desperate. They view it as do or die. And he painted these terrible pictures of, you know, Wilmington, which is already having a huge crime problem, and Delaware, which has already lost big businesses like DuPont, AstraZeneca, MBNA, GM, Chrysler, okay, is losing this port as well, and then the entire city will fall under darkness and just be even more crime-ridden than it is today. And therefore, it is absolutely essential that this be approved. And so the key point that I got was, one, desperation. This is all about money, and it's all about jobs. And there were 10 other bidders, and what the Jeff Bollock, who's the chairman of the board of the Diamond State Port Corporation, what he said during the bit of the presentation that I was able to catch was that there were actually three good competitive deals, okay? But the difference is what made this deal stand out among the others, ahead of the others, is that they were willing to provide all of the money necessary. And we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. There's a little lack of clarity on my part whether it's $580 million or $580 plus $410 being almost $1 billion, okay? It could be that much. It could be that the $410 million is tucked into the $580. It's not quite clear. But we're talking about massive amounts of money. And the point is, Gulftainer is willing to provide all of the money without any partial contribution from the state itself. And that's what's driving it. Delaware feels very cash starved, and they just saw that, and all other issues went out the window, as far as I can see. And I tried to discuss national security issues, and that just got brushed aside. It's like nothing matters except jobs and these guys being willing to pay for the whole expansion. That's it.
Interesting.
So in reality, what you are saying, Dave, is that what's going on down there in Delaware is the fact that those who are right now in charge of the Wilmington port are really selling their soul to foreign entities just for the almighty dollar, just probably because of the fact that they've not been able to figure out their own economic issues right now. So they're just selling their soul, our soul, to other nations that is ultimately going to lay the great potential for destruction here in this, our own country, as it relates to national security.
It's not just Mr. Ash's words. This is a sentiment that I've seen from all sides, right up to the governor's level. At every level, there's absolutely nobody concerned about national security. All they talk about is jobs and money. Jobs and money. Nothing else matters.
Dave, this is Gary, this is a very, very critical thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're hearing this. This is not manufactured. It's not made up. It's very real. I can share with you just very briefly. When I was in the Pennsylvania House, the General Assembly almost sold the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
I remember that, Sam. I remember that, Gary. Yep.
And it was a Spanish company that was going to buy the Pennsylvania Turnpike, promised to do this and promised to do that, but they would control our major east-west highway. They would control when they put on tolls, when they put on – and we got involved, and I said, this is absolutely crazy. The Pennsylvania Turnpike? Are you kidding me? Anyways, we were able to get that pulled, and it didn't happen. But it was going to be billions of dollars that people were going to love to spend. Sounds like it here. But Dave, let's go and tie this thing in here, because
let me add one more point. This is absolutely critical. The other question we need to ask is the previous bid to take over this port came from a Chinese company. The question we need to ask is, why is it that all of the top, highest-paying bidders that offer the most lucrative deals are coming from countries that are enemies, essentially, of the United States? China is not our friend. Okay, and they steal all sorts of technological knowledge from us, and they behave in an aggressive way. And with their premier declaring himself or being declared now leader for life, they are going in a dangerous direction. And the same thing goes with this case with Gulftainer. These are Iraqi. The owners are Iraqi and Emirati Sultan or Prince.
Absolutely. We're going to get into more of the details in the next segment, Dave, of who.
Okay.
But I want to say there's another example. So we tied into this. This is not the first city. This would be the second seaport picked up by these people. If it had, tell us quickly about that one down further south.
Okay. Thank you. This is such an important point. We're talking about the port of Port Canaveral, which is located right next to the Kennedy Space Center, as well as an Air Force base, which has nuclear capability, and also a naval port in Canaveral, where ships carrying nuclear weapons come in regularly as a part of their stops. So the point here is that's an extremely sensitive area, and the question is, why didn't it get stopped back then? And apparently, it was approved in 2014 during the Obama administration, and it really got the wheels turning while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Now, the reason why this is important is because back during the Dubai ports deal, Bill Clinton was actually working as a consultant for the Dubai company to help facilitate this thing going through. So Bill Clinton has been involved with these deals all the way since the original Dubai ports deal in 2006. And it just so happened, by amazing coincidence, that starting in 2012, he became co-chair of a program at the UN called Business Backs Education, co-chair with Majid Jafar, who happens to be one of the top executives at the Crescent Group, I believe Crescent Enterprises. And so the point here is, let me make sure I got that straight. It may not be Crescent Enterprises. It may be Gulftainer itself. I have to double check that. But the key thing is, there they were working together for years on this program. And by the way, Bill Clinton earned $5 million over this time for this wonderful, generous work he did. And lo and behold, next thing you know, they get awarded, that is, Gulftainer gets awarded Port Canaveral.
All right, Dave, we're going to have to break away.
We've
got to break away for a break here in just 30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap. Today, our theme, Return of the Dubai Ports Deal, this time by stealth. We're looking at the stealth Wilmington Ports Deal of 2018. Information you are not hearing anywhere else. When we come back, we're going to go into detail of exactly who the players are, the companies, and the country involved. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
If you're just joining us now on Stand in the Gap today, we are glad that you're with us. If you're just stepping in right now, you're stepping into a conversation and we're having with special guest Dave Bailey on an extraordinarily important topic relative to the potential takeover of the Port of Wilmington, Delaware, by the same group that were narrowly pushed out from buying all of the East Coast ports back in 2006. Now, I'd like you, if you're listening and you're finding this interesting, communicate it to your friends about not just the program today, although you could Facebook them right now or Twitter them or email them right now. Have them join this program for this information. Again, in a lot of stuff here, so go back and plan on going to our website at standinthegapradio.com or our app. Download that by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap, and then you can listen to this program and all of our archives again later. Now, let's go back here now and let's pick up on the various theme of really who's involved in this Wilmington Ports deal, as I'm calling it. So here we go again. An attempt by some elected officials, we've all heard part of that, is seeking a sale of strategic U.S. East Coast seaports, this case right now Wilmington, and a desire by certain Middle East nations to offer vast sums of money in exchange. What they're going to get is the control and access to vital U.S. assets, but from a national security perspective, it's a problem. And unlike 2006, there's no discussion about this one going on today. It's under the radar. That's why we're saying by stealth. And major transfers of vital assets are underway. And thus far, the media, Congress, and the public have said absolutely nothing. So in this segment, we're going to focus a bit more closely on the nations involved, the companies involved, the people involved in the stealth Wilmington Ports deal of 2018, which is frankly happening as we speak. Our special guest here with us right now is Dave Bailey. Dave, let me go back to you right off here. You were talking about in the last segment, and we had to go, but let's identify the foreign countries. You mentioned the United Arab Emirates. You can list them again, name the company and the people that are involved and why. Again, we know some things, we may not know, but lay down what we do know.
Thank you. Just to clarify what I was saying before we went on break, one of the most important people is Majid Jafar, who is the nephew of Dr. Jafar Dia Jafar, who was Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction nuclear scientist. He is also the vice chairman of the Crescent Group. That's the position I was looking for to tell you. And he is in, he also, for a number of years, was co-chair with Bill Clinton of Business Backs Education, which was a UN organization. And the other owners that we're talking about is the Emir of Sharjah, which is one of the Emirates in the United Arab Emirates. And again, Iraqi oil magnate Hamid Jafar, okay? And it's really not just him, it's an entire family. The Crescent Group, which is the parent organization of the whole thing, is basically Jafar's family company. So it's really deep. And these are, and yet none of these issues are coming up. Any rational person would say, who are these people, and shouldn't we be concerned about national security with them? Now, and here's what was so fascinating about my conversation with William Ash, and I've had other people say it as well. It's whenever we raise security concerns, their response is, well, Gulf Tainer was already approved for Port Canaveral, so of course there were, you know, there were obvious security issues there, but it was approved there, so why shouldn't it be approved here? When the real question we should be saying is, how on earth did it ever get approved at Port Canaveral?
Absolutely.
And the answer is, the security issues were waived. They were not considered because people were pulling strings back in the shadows where we don't know. And that is the key thing. It was not properly vetted at Port Canaveral from a security standpoint. And now when we raise the issue here, they refer to Port Canaveral and say, hey, if it was good then, it should be good now.
You know, Dave, this is interesting information. I think it's breaking news. I've got two real quick questions with two real quick answers from you, and then a more lengthy question. Number one, were there other media? Was there national media at your meeting this morning?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I didn't see any media whatsoever. But what I did see, now this was almost humorous, okay? I go and I park in the parking lot, and as I'm walking over to the entrance, a woman comes up who's a little confused. She's driving in her car trying to wonder where to go, and she asks me, is this where the union rally is?
Interesting.
Okay? And I said, oh, you mean for the Port of Wilmington? She said, yeah. And I said, oh, okay. And I took a little note to myself, oh, this is a union rally. Yeah. And that would explain why it was taking place in a convention center. I mean, something like this, you know, normally you do it in a official building, you know, one of the buildings of Wilmington or something like that.
But there was no.
In a convention center. Hold it. Standing room only. There was way more than 1,000 people there, and it wasn't just standing room only. It was standing room only, 3 people deep, all the way around.
But no national media.
Correct.
Secondly, real quick, yes or no? Is Bill Clinton trying to sell our nation away to you?
That's not for me to say. All I can look is at the evidence, and whenever you see these deals trying to come through, somehow Bill Clinton is right there.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
It's just an amazing coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then here's the longer question. You know, behind every nation or company or people make deals. Often they make these deals through bribes, or they threaten others, or they coerce others. That's just the way it happens, and we all know that. But in this case, the specific people involved run the gambit from being under the Treasury Department investigation for connections to Saddam Hussein in the original Dubai ports deal of 2006. Now, there also appears to be a connection to Russia's military. Therefore, there appears also to be a connection to Islamic terrorism. Dave, tell us the details about all of this. And I mean, this is scary stuff.
Right. Well, the key point that you're bringing up is Gulftainer. Where are their ports? They operate 15 ports right now. Well, where are they? They're in places like Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Brazil, Russia, Turkey, North Africa, and, of course, Port Canaveral. Now, what doesn't fit in this picture? The answer is Port Canaveral does not fit into that picture. Every other one of them, with the exception of Brazil, is basically a hostile in a country that is at least, if it's a staunch ally, quote unquote, ideologically, it's hostile to the United States. These are not democracies. We're not talking about France or England or the Netherlands. We're talking about dictatorships, okay, or countries that have deep instability and deep problems with terrorism, like Lebanon. And so the key thing is, this is the corrupt and terror-filled world that Gulftainer normally operates in. And now Port Canaveral and Port Wilmington, that's just, it seems very, very strange. And it, not to say anything is a definitive, but it should at least be a red flag saying we should be very careful about security issues and ask skeptical questions. And that's just not happening right now.
Absolutely, Dave. And I'm looking here at an article, and it says, fleshing in what you're saying, that Gulftainer, this company that is the one who's owning these ports that you just laid out, these 15 already, is a joint venture with a group called Rostec, R-O-S-T-E-C, which exports Russia's, what we would term a Trojan horse, they call it a Club K container missile launcher. Basically, it's a military missile launcher that looks just like a container that you would see on any kind of a commercial ship bringing boxed goods into the country. You can't tell the difference. They're the exporter for them, and they're connected with the Russia's port at St. Petersburg, which they're now, Russia's now taking and converting that port that Gulftainer runs into into an official naval base. Now, Dave,
what's in those containers? I guess we'll just have to trust them, won't we?
Know what? That's about what it sounds like. And as you said, I think it's very interesting because I know how these things work. Having been in office before, you get the Cape Canaveral incident approved. Now you get a precedent in place, and now anybody who wants to be concerned, the other side comes and says, "Well, but wait a minute, you didn't raise your voice the first time." Now they may have never heard about it, but they didn't raise their voice. So why are you going to raise your voice now? I think you put your fingers on it there, Dave, very probably very clearly. But I think there's a whole lot more behind it. This must raise to the attention.
Let's just restate again. They're approaching it at the state level rather than at the national level, and states are not accustomed to dealing with national security. The only thing they are accustomed to dealing with is economic issues.
National
security is not their department, so they just don't consider it. And that's why they're keeping it out of the federal government.
Yep. Okay. We got to go to a break here again, ladies and gentlemen. You are hearing very, very truthful, very, very clear information. It's critical. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what are these questions that simply must be asked. For instance, why is Congress not involved? And we're going to talk and expand more upon what we've just been talking about most recently.
Hi, this is Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily from Washington, D.C. I commend Sam Rohr for airing this Stand in the Gap radio program on the American Pastors Network. Sam and his team of Dave, Gary, and Isaac offers a wide variety of guests that discuss the important and relevant issues that keep Christians informed and engaged. As a White House correspondent for the past 17 years, I have appreciated the opportunity to share what I'm observing in our country and the platform to discuss the biblically significant times that we are living in regarding Israel, the Middle East, and other key places around the world.
With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, and with analysis from our team of preachers, combined with expert guests like Bill Koenig, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, George Barna, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, IQ Abrasouli, and many more, with God's guidance and your financial and prayer support, the Stand in the Gap Today team is quickly becoming the most trusted source of news. Pray for us. Stand with us.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Where's your trust today? In Psalm 91:3, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, and today's Stand in the Gap Minute. As the world around us becomes unhinged and threats of war increase, most people place their trust in things that fail. As Christians, we can trust in the Lord, secure and unmovable. May I encourage you to reject the hopelessness around us? In these days of uncertainty, we can be certain. In these days of distress, we can be at peace. In these days of confusion, we can have clarity. And like the psalmist, it's a choice. Will you choose to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust? Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer for our nation and our families and trust the Lord and together see what God can do? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
One of the most remarkable things about the grave danger posed to U.S. security by this stealth takeover of the Wilmington, Delaware port is, as of today, that really nothing's been reported by the major news. We talked about that just a little bit as to why in the last segment. And other than a few statements, when I Googled this morning, I did Google Delaware ports, and you can Google it yourself and see what you can find, Delaware ports. Deal or Delaware ports, you'll find that there's only about a half a dozen, at least as of this morning when I looked, and they were all local Delaware news outlets. That's basically all they were. I only found one other reference, and that was in a trade magazine to the shipping industry called American Shipper. And it said this was just a small piece of what I saw on their page. It said this: Gulftainer, which is the company that we're talking about here, Gulftainer to take over Delaware's port of Wilmington, question mark. It said Gulftainer, the United Arab Emirates-based port management and third-party logistics company that expanded into the United States in 2015 by taking over a container terminal in Port Canaveral, Florida, is on the verge of making a deal to operate in the port of Wilmington, Delaware. Okay, that's the only other thing that I have found, and that brings in the Port Canaveral connection, which we just talked about, which is making this scenario extraordinarily more pertinent because it's not the first attempt. It well could be the second. So there are some legitimate questions, including what can we do about this, that we're going to try and consider in this last segment. So, Dave Bailey, let me go back to you in this regard. In 2016, there was a surprising opponent, not just 58%. I mean, it should have been 99% of the Republicans, but 58% of the Republicans, the numbers say, opposed this deal. But there was a Democrat, too, who was very key in opposing that port deal. His name was Senator Chuck Schumer. Very interesting. Chuck Schumer opposed that deal. I haven't heard anything from him either. How do you address that? Why isn't Chuck Schumer involved in this? Have any idea?
Yes, and let me just expand on the point that you made just a second ago. When we talk about Port Canaveral, when it first came out locally in Florida, there was real concern. People were writing about it, but it was localized to Florida, just like this issue is currently localized to Delaware, and that's how they avoided national attention. The key thing is, back then, it looked like a one-off sort of thing. It's just one port. But now that they're going to the port of Wilmington, now it looks like something different. And this is where we say, gee, it's not just one port. They've got a vision for taking over ports all along the American coast. Lo and behold, it's the Dubai ports deal all over again, except one at a time to avoid attention instead of all at once. And the reason why that's so important is because, believe it or not, they are at this moment also talking with the Port of Oakland to take over their port. Now, I don't know how far that's gone, but the key thing is they've already got a third port in their sights. Okay. Now, the point you make about Senator Chuck Schumer is such a great one because, again, with states being primarily focused on economic issues and really not accustomed to thinking about national security concerns, we're just not going to win this fight at the state level. We have to get the federal level involved. And the amazing thing here is this in 2006 was not a partisan issue. It was totally bipartisan. The House panel that was considering this, the Dubai ports deal, and making its recommendation to the rest of Congress voted 62-2 to block the deal. That is huge. And again, Chuck Schumer was one of the leaders of the charge. He added amendments to a Senate bill in order to block the deal. So here we have a case, and this is so rare where national security is an issue where both Republicans and Democrats were overwhelmingly united to oppose the deal. And if they opposed it for Dubai ports in 2006, absolutely nothing has changed that would make it so they shouldn't oppose it today. Now, whether they will or won't is another issue, but if we're simply looking at security concerns, nothing has changed here. So it's really time to take this matter to the federal level, and that's what we have to do next.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you, Dave. You know, where is the Congress? Where is the State Department? I mean, right. You know, why aren't they making noise about it? If we are on
suspicion is there's a concerted effort to keep the feds out of it. Keep it hush hush. Only states know.
Concerted efforts by the states themselves.
Yes.
Don't you think that the federal folks, the folks on the federal level, the Congress and State Department, don't they have the ability to be able to see what the states are doing in something like this?
Well, as is always the case, there's an issue of stovepiping, okay? People only know about issues if somebody calls it to their attention. If nobody calls it to their attention, they don't really know. And quite often people assume that they go to the squeaky wheel. If the wheels aren't squeaking, they don't pay attention to it. And right now, all the states that have been considering this, particularly Delaware, they are so in favor of this. You know, if someone at the national level were to say, hey, Delaware, how's everything going with that deal? Is there anything we should be concerned about? Their answer would be, oh, no, nothing to be concerned about. This is going to be such a great economic deal for Delaware. That's all you need to know.
Dave, we only have about 2 minutes left here, and I would agree with you, having been in General and State Assembly here in Pennsylvania, that, yes, in fact, I could see how this could fly under the radar and why why Congress would not, in fact, be seeing this. So I want to go back to you again. I got a minute here. What should our listeners do? You've already said we've got to take and make this a national issue because it affects national security. It really does. It's not just a little couple of docks floating out in the water off the coast of Wilmington. This is a whole lot more involved. Simply put, what would you suggest for our listeners to do here?
Well, the first thing is, you know, with a radio show, it's easy to hear something and have it go out of your mind. The first thing is do a little research on your own. Just do a search for the words Port of Wilmington, Crescent Group, Gulftainer, and national security. And you'll get all sorts of things, so you'll feel informed. Once you've done that, you'll be in a position to contact your federal level representative and senator and say, I'm concerned about this. You should be concerned about it too. We've got to wake up the federal representatives and senators so that they start looking into the issue and say, hey, this is Dubai Ports deal all over again.
All right. Very good. That's where we're going to leave it today. Dave, thanks for all this information today. And I want to take this a matter of prayer before we go. Gary, you've got a little bit here. Take us to prayer. Just to pray that this becomes something that is known more broadly. It needs to be.
Father, there are those who need to know this, probably maybe even listening to us right now, because we are on in Washington, D.C. I just ask and pray, Lord, that you will bring this to the attention of the right people who can do the right thing in making the right decision on this, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, again, pick up this program by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. You can go listen to this again. It'll be posted in a couple of hours from the time we're actually doing this. Do your research. Contact your congressional delegation. Let them know. Let's pray that somebody picks us up and helps to make it forward. Help us and pray for us as we do it as well. Until we talk again on Monday, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.